You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of October. What correlation is there between preseason and regular season? And as much as we're saying, oh no, shouldn't we be saying, oh yes? Plus, what struggles are legitimate? And sitting down with Tony Bradley for our final in the Get to Know features. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. All right, I have a bunch of little bookkeeping kind of notes here that I want to get across before we get the show going. And so just stick with me for a quick second. I'll fly through them as quickly as I can. Number one, we are over 1,000 five-star reviews, 1,041. I don't know why I think that's so cool, but it's really cool. Thank you very much. We've also been on the iTunes 200 charts all week, so that's probably related. So thank you. Super appreciate it. Kind of fun. Tried to get some people tickets the other night. I had some preseason tickets. I don't have any regular season tickets, so that game will end here. But anyway, thank you very much. Number two, Utah Jazz charity event last night. Super fun. Great to see the players in kind of a relaxed environment. And we're raising money. And there is an auction at 32auctions.com. It's called 32auctions.com. And there's a Utah Jazz event on that. And if you go find that, there's some great, great items on the item list. So you can find, there's golf with Mike Conley at Willow Creek Country Club. There's courtside seats alongside Gail Miller, which is really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. There's courtside to the Jazz Warriors. There's all sorts of great things. And frankly, it has not been bid up that much. The one that I actually was looking at that is now gotten a little bit more expensive is Take the Restaurant Home. The Jazz private chef was hosting a party, but frankly, it's not that much. It's at $1,200 for a big event. I mean, that's a lot. Trust me, it just got out of my price range. But if you're actually hosting a party of 12, it's $100 per person. So it's not for having an executive chef at your house. It's actually not that. And you get a $100 gift card to the new restaurants, Bourbon House, Whiskey Street, and Whitehorse. I actually have not been to Whitehorse and really want to go. So, okay. So that is... So check that one out because that one's kind of cool. And anyway, so that's going on. Number three, did you hear the large Locked On Podcast Network announcement yesterday? We are launching a new show. It involves Nate Duncan, who many of you may know from Dunked On Basketball, and John Hollinger, the godfather of ESPN analytics, former GM and front office person of the Memphis Grizzlies. It's called Hollinger and Duncan. Subscribe. The first episode will be out Monday or Sunday night. So go right now and subscribe and grab that. Here is what we have built for you from an NBA standpoint on the Locked On Podcast Network. We have the daily Locked On NBA podcast. Short form, last night's events, today, the next day's story, the biggest stories of the day. Boom. 30 minutes, multiple hosts. Rejecting the Screen, twice a week, fun kind of big picture NBA conversation. One day, long form interview. They did Sam Mitchell this week. It's classic. He tells a bunch of stories. You will have an opinion of Sam Mitchell when you're done with that interview, either one way or the other. And then Hollinger and Duncan is your third piece. So those are your three national NBA shows on the network. All right, I think that's the bookkeeping I had. I'm sure I've just forgotten something. Oh, fourth one. My apologies. When I downloaded the sound yesterday, I forgot to save the right file, so you got one channel instead of two. My bad. Sorry about that. I was just rushed and screwed up. When you make haste, you make waste, young boy. All right, let's get to it. We are freaking out because our defense is terrible. I have yet to hear anyone mention the idea that we have the third best offense in the NBA. The 76ers, interestingly, which we all wondered if they could score, have the best. The Pelicans, the second. The Jazz, the third. The Rockets, and then the Brooklyn Nets. Those were the five best offenses in the NBA. 76ers and the Pelicans are considerably ahead. Might even have another preseason. Both those might actually have another preseason game. Some of this is ridiculous. because of all of the non-NBA teams everyone's playing. Okay, so let's make sure we're clear on that some of this is totally ridiculous. Brooklyn does play tonight. So New Orleans does play tonight. The 76ers play tonight. So this is not Houston plays tonight. So this is not completely set. But let's do it. So what happens if you're top five offense or defense in the preseason? Like, does it mean a darn thing? So I went through the last 5 years. It gets, even by the end of the fifth year, the data, I think, gets a little screwy because teams are playing 7 and 8 preseason games. And I think our data is really screwy because people are playing 5 preseason games and one of them's against a non-NBA team a lot of the time, or you're traveling. So there's just so many things here that are kind of wacky. But let's go with it anyway. The 5 teams that are in the bottom of the defensive standings at this moment, the Jazz are the worst. The Spurs, who play tonight. The Warriors, who play tonight. They play the Lakers 4 times in the preseason. The Pelicans, who play tonight. And the Pistons. Okay, so as of right now, we're talking about these 5 teams. Jazz, Spurs, Warriors, Pelicans, Pistons. If you are in the bottom 5 defensive teams in the preseason, there have only been 2 of 25 teams in the last 5 years that have ended up being a top 10 defensive team. Only 2. In fact, you have a 2 times better chance being a bottom 5 defensive team. Makes sense. It's wacky and weird that we're there, or maybe it's going to turn out to not be. I mean, I think this is a really weird, to interrupt myself, I think this is a really, really weird moment for us. On one level, we have this 4 or 5 game data that says that something's wrong. And yet, it's ridiculous data and it's preseason. It doesn't matter. And we're loaded with veterans who know the preseason doesn't matter. And they're not about to bust their butt in the preseason. And yet, there's these moments in time where you can kind of go, uh-oh. So there's all this, like I feel like on one end, we all kind of know in the back of our hearts that this is ridiculous data that we shouldn't be worried about and shouldn't be talking about. And at the same time, if 40 games into the season, we rank 22nd in the league defensively, we're going to look back at this being like, oh my gosh, we knew it. And so it's hard to tell whether or not we should talk about it or just ignore it. I just have decided that it should be put in a caveat of like, okay, not certain. But there is a chance that 45 games into the season, we're going to rank 22nd in the league defensively and look back and be like, oh my gosh, the preseason told us something. I think there's a better chance, frankly, that we're going to be 13th defensively, and the preseason's going to have told us that we're not elite anymore defensively, but we're still pretty darn good. That's my guess, that there actually is a little bit of an indicator here that we're, the idea that we were going to be a top 5 offense, top 5 defense, number 1 seed, somehow doesn't feel like that the defense can be quite as great. But then, when I say that, I'm now interrupting the whole thing, so then I start thinking about who we played, right? We played the Pelicans, who played crazy fast on the road in New Orleans. You know, preseason, you're just not amping up for that. And they play crazy, crazy fast. The Pelicans have been playing 111 possessions a game, which is one of the highest in the league. Milwaukee is also at 111 possessions. There's a uniqueness to them. Milwaukee slaughtered people throughout the playoffs. So that's just kind of funky. And simultaneously, New Orleans wasn't playing defense, so we were ahead most of that game. And the fact we weren't playing defense just didn't seem to really matter. Rudy didn't play Milwaukee, so I dismissed that. And then Sacramento, who's another team that plays 109 possessions per game, and Portland are both teams that caused us huge problems last year. Sacramento ran by us in the regular season last year when we were the number one defensive team in the league, and then we zeroed in on it and handled it the next few times. Portland scored 49 points against us in the first quarter of a game in Portland in January last year when we were rolling, and 35 in the third quarter of that game. So a little bit of me just thinks, you know, also are dealing with a sample size of 4, and there's something absurd to worrying about a sample size of 4, particularly when those 4 teams, maybe because they played us, were 12th, 9th, 7th, and 2nd offensively, right? Had we played Memphis, Orlando, Oklahoma City, and Denver in the preseason, we'd feel great about ourselves right now. So the minute I start saying I think there's something valid to this, I actually kind of think it's total BS. So I don't actually know where I stand. I really don't. And I'm pretty confused, and I kind of feel like that's where we all are right now. I was talking with Nate Silverman last night, who's the guy who does, Nate Martinez. Who's Nate Silverman? Nate Silverman's a friend of mine from the Storm and Sonics, I think. Nate Martinez, who runs all the junior jazz programs. I mean, just maybe one of the most valuable employees in all of the Utah Jazz organization. Junior jazz program is the model for all of the NBA, and it doesn't win us games, but you know what it does to build the Jazz as part of our culture and our community is seriously might be as valuable as any employee in the entire organization. Nate Martinez. Nate Silverman's my friend from the Storm. Anyway, he's a great dude. We were talking about last night. I just said, I don't know where we are. Like, I feel like on one level, we've just been slapped in the face three times. And you want to say to yourself, like, okay, someone's slapping me in the face. On the other end, it's just like, yeah, but they're slapping me in the face because, and the becauses feel somewhat legit. All right. With that said, I've now caveated the crap out of this. Maybe told you, I think this whole show is ridiculous. We're going to look at what the trends are, both offensively and defensively, if you're top five in one or the other. We're top five offense, bottom five defense, bottom one defense in the preseason. And what does that mean? It is Locked On Jazz, brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Super appreciate Blake and the crew over at Murdoch. They just do so much for the community, for ourselves. Helping all of us out for the Jazz. A lot of great things. They're just super good people. I don't know if you've heard about this, but the Hyundai Sonata is coming out with a new version and is getting huge pub. Like, if you just kind of search Hyundai Sonata and, like, it's one of them striking style Tesla-like tech. Hyundai Sonata prototype, first test, going for more from Motor Trend. A day driving the redesigned Hyundai Sonata provides that you are now taking yourself further beyond your imagination. Like, really cool stuff. And this is what Hyundai does. Hyundai is one of the technology innovators. I was explained to me that you actually, in the car world, because of safety, you get like your technology for like a year, and then everybody can copy it. So the back door, which Hyundai has right now, where you can't open the back door if a car is driving by, it was a Hyundai item, and then at some point the rest of the car world can get it because it's safety related, so they want to make sure that everyone gets it. But Hyundai's just pulling out great cars. The Palisade, the Sonata is just, you know, opening eyes right now. Plus, the Murdochs are just incredible. Down in Linden, you can say hi to Blake. In Murray, Jason is there at 4646 South State Street, Jason Creech. And then up in Logan, say hi to Ben. It's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. And if you're going to look for a car, put Hyundai on the list. See all the things you can get for your money. But tell me first so that I can email them and let them know you're coming. It's Murdoch Hyundai. I promise I will not interrupt myself. I promise. All right, here's the data. This is relevant to the following teams this year. The Jazz, the Spurs, the Warriors, the Pelicans, and the Pistons. The Warriors and Spurs in this group as well. Pelicans and Pistons. If you are bottom five defensive team in the preseason, 56% of the time, you end up in the bottom 10 defensively. Only 16% of the time do you end up in the bottom five. Almost as though they catch your attention. So 16% of the time in the bottom five, but 56% of the time that you're in the bottom five defensively, you end up in the bottom 10 defensively. 36% of the time you end up in the middle. And only twice, 8% out of 25 teams, do you end up in the top 10. The 2015-16 Golden State Warriors and the 17-18 Pistons finished 10th. Nobody's finished top five. So 0% of teams that have been the bottom five defensively in the preseason have turned around and been in the top five defensively in the regular season over the last 5 years. All right. What we might have, the slap in the face of the preseason to me is the way we're constructed, we are probably not a top five defensive team anymore. Like, that's, to me, I think that has been put out on the table for us and kind of slapped us in the face. Does that feel relatively relatively true there. All right, what about on the offensive side? Is there any other takeaway there? But I mean, the 10 of 25 teams, 40% of them, end up between 25 and 21, 21 to 25 defensively. 40% end up in the bottom 10, 20 and 21 to 25, 56%. Seems like that's unlikely for us. We have a give a darn factor, but maybe it means we're a middle of the pack defensive team. What about being one of the top five offensive teams? Again, teams play tonight, so this is not totally done, but let's try it. This applies for the 76ers, the Pelicans, the Jazz. My scribbles don't make sense. I think it's the Rockets. And let's make sure I know. Sorry, guys. The 1920 preseason best offense. 76ers, Pelicans, Jazz, Rockets, and Nets. Okay? Not the Nets are the team I kind of projected. They've only played three preseason games. So small sample size. All right. What does this mean? It means, interestingly, 44%, 11 of 25, of the teams are in the top five offensively in the preseason end up in the top five offensively in the regular season. 44%. There is a larger chance by a huge amount that we, but our preseason being in the top five offensively is a indicator more than our top five defensively, right? So bottom five defensively to bottom five defensively during the regular season is only 4 out of 25, 16%. But top five offensively preseason, the top five offensively regular season is at 44%. Top 10 offensively is 48%. Middle of the pack offensively is 32%. Bottom of the 10 offensively is 20%. So there's a little, it's a little top heavy, but there is wider variance, right? So of the top five offensive teams, over 20% of them actually became bottom 10 teams, whereas of the top of the bottom five defensive teams, only 8% became good defensive teams. So there's a chance that your preseason numbers can be, I guess, completely false. But there is a stronger indicator to being good, too. So maybe we should actually be jumping up and down about our offensive rating and how great our offense is right now. What's interesting is the offense of the preseason has been bad. The average offense of the preseason right now is a 101.8. Last year, it was a 103.8. The median team. And then the year before it was terrible. It was a 97.1. I don't know why. So that's the other thing I would point out. Preseason offense is all over the map. The median team, just taking because of the non, for the last 5 years, the offense has been a 102.2, a 97. A 106, and then this year it's a 103. So, kind of wacky. What's my overall takeaway here? My overall takeaway is that there is something to be learned here. I wouldn't take it to the stock market or to Vegas. But there is a indicator that if you are a great offensive team in the preseason, that you generally end up being a pretty great 48% of the time, you end up in the top 10 offensively. And if you're a bad defensive team, 56% of the time, you end up in the bottom 10 defensively. Like, there's a chance that we're a top 10 offense and a bottom 10 defensive team, which is quite a change. Quite a change. So anyway, that's kind of where we are with it. Other little notes. Um, Bojan Bogdanovic has a lot of people concerned. It is just not on my list of concerns. I thought it was pretty fascinating that he told us, like, I don't feel great about things, and then turned around and had a terrible game. I mean, I think he basically told us before the game started that that was going to happen. But I'm pretty certain he's not a 27% shooter and 25% shooter from three. The only thing I've brought up about him is he does get a lot of his possessions in transition. And so he's going to have to figure that out. I don't think he just got disastrously old really, really fast. Maybe the most encouraging one is how good Jeff Green has been. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. He's been stunningly good. Joe Ingles, coming off Australia, has been stunningly good. I wouldn't worry about Mike Conley. Like, it's not Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic. We talked about this all offseason. Like, these are tremendous changes for these players. Mike Conley has been bringing the ball up every single time for his entire career, is now not doing that. Bojan Bogdanovic was the number one scorer. He's now got to fit in, figure out where he fits with Donovan. It's why I think as time goes on, you let him be the number one scorer on the second unit to get his rhythm that way. Rudy has not been great, but not being great is hitting 64% of his shots and, you know, doing some pretty neat stuff. And Tony Bradley's been just great. Not against the primary guys, but Tony Bradley's just incredible what he puts up. All right. We have Monday, Tuesday next week to kind of rehash all this and start digging in. And then Wednesday, we'll have our pregame to the Thunder and we get underway. Tony Bradley is next with our look inside of Get to Know with Tony. Look forward to that. The NBA previews are all up at Locked On NBA. Rejecting the Screen has the great interview I told you about. And last and final, we've got the Hollinger and Duncan show coming your direction as well. So all those things. For you. All right, let's take a check on Homie. Homie's doing some great things, by the way. I got a great email from Dash the other day. I bought my grip sit. Dash Olson, who's a restore hyper wellness and drapers, his store. Good dude. Listener of the fan. He's so funny. We're talking about possibly doing something together. And he was like, hey, I wanted to chat with you. My next home's going through Homie. I ordered a Grip 6 belt. I still need to try a Mudslide Cookie, and I just bought a Hyundai Tucson. I think I fit your demographic. I love it. Thank you, Dash Olson. Well, when you do buy your next car house through Homie, what you're going to find out is that they're revolutionizing the real estate market. Rather than paying a preset commission, they set a preset price for you, and it allows you to sell your home for $1,500. It's a pretty amazing deal considering the way things are working. They also can buy any home for you. That's right. You can choose a Homie agent, and the Homie agent will help you earn $5,000 back with closing costs and fees. They'll all the same things. They'll find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and then work to get you $5,000 back. When you buy a home, it's not free. The money you pay for your home is used to pay the seller, their agent, and whatever agent you choose to hire. It's money that pays both agents. Homie is returning $5,000 to you. Remember, it's simple to get started with Homie. Just text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Go to homie.com for more information and text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. This is Locked on Jazz.
One of the questions I'm asking a bunch of people is like toughest thing they ever had to overcome. Mm. It's interesting for you. It's interesting for you. I don't know if it's been tough, but it's like when you envision being an NBA player and when you came out of North Carolina, I don't think you expected Salt Lake Community College for as many days as you've spent there. So how have, in that realm, if I decide that that's your toughest part, how have you kind of worked through that and mentally been able to handle that?
Just playing with the stars and being back and forth, I just took it as just trying to get better and develop and just getting an extra chance to play. When I couldn't play with the Jazz, I could always go down to the stars and just get opportunity to play and just improve. And I was excited to do that every time.
There's people in your life that love you. Could be parents, could be friends. Why not more? Right? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that chatter and keep balanced?
I'm learning to mature on my own. Just have my own mind. Parents may see it this way, but I'm learning to see it my way. Yeah, just maturing overall.
It's interesting you bring that up. I mean, you were young. I mean, you're still, what?
21.
21. So you've been dealing with this at 19, 20, 21. That's not, like, you're not really supposed to be able to deal with those things very well at that point.
Right. Just growing up, aging, it comes with more knowledge and wisdom just to myself and learning and other people telling me just overall growing and maturing.
How much better of a player are you right now than you were 2 years ago?
Honestly, I just say I'm more confident. I feel like I've been putting in a lot of good work. And so especially just the moment I got drafted to now, I just overall feel more confident. And that's through playing with the Stars, just through workouts with Vince here with the Jazz and in the weight room.
The thing that from an outsider would seem to me to be hard is like the improvements are so minuscule.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't – it's not like this one day where suddenly you shoot – 50 of 56 on jump shots or something.
Right.
Or like, how do you get your mind around the fact that you are improving when it's so hard to see?
It's like when you're having individual workouts, you're working on little things, but those little things soon turn into big things, and you combine everything and it's just like, wow, like my game is really different from where, you know, when I first got here, and you start to notice it.
Remind me again. So you grew up in small town Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're a point guard for a long time, aren't you?
Yeah, I played well because my dad coached me, so he wanted me to like be versatile and just skilled overall. So growing up, like around middle school, I was handling the ball a lot, and a little bit of started high school, but I decided to grow.
You didn't just slide.
right. Soon, I just started to grow, and
So when did you have your growth spurt?
I kind of always had a growth spurt. Like, eighth grade, I was 6'6", 6'7".
All right, that's a growth spurt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then I would just grow 1 inch, 2 inch every so often. And so at the end of my senior year of high school, I was like 6'10", and a half-ish.
It's made you a lot of money.
Mm.
But do you like being this tall?
Yeah, honestly, I don't feel tall at all.
Oh, interesting.
I don't feel tall. Just a lot of people come up to me and
say, sure.
How tall are you? You're tall and stuff. But the other day I went to Best Buy and I was like, yeah, the aisles were really short. And I was like, yeah, I feel pretty tall now.
I mean, it's not something you can – it's interesting. I just know some people, you know, obviously playing in basketball, right? Like there's a lot of people who don't like it. And it's like you can't do anything about it. So it's a bummer if you're not comfortable with it. So it's great to hear that that's not a thought that you have in the process.
It feels normal. You know, every once in a while you bump your head on something that, you know, but – I'm used to all that stuff.
You've seen these locker rooms from an interesting perspective. Kind of, what do you think makes a successful basketball culture?
Sometimes you can just feel it. You can feel it and see it just from how guys get along and talk, especially off the court.
How does this team now deal with the fact that it's such a different locker room?
Well, I haven't seen that yet.
Sure.
I'm just going off of last year's season and team, so.
And unless you guys were all fooling us, everybody was pretty tight last year.
Everybody was tight, yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves. When a fan thinks of Tony Bradley, what do you want them to think?
He's a good guy, good person.
How about when a teammate thinks of Tony Bradley?
Good person, good guy, off the court, on the court.
I think they should.
Mm.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
An NBA player, and when you came out of North Carolina, I don't think you expected Salt Lake Community College for as many days as you've spent there. So how, in that realm, if I decide that that's your toughest part, how have you kind of worked through that and mentally been able to handle that?
Just